you move, no one's turned away. 'Cause where you are, fear turns into praising. And where you are, no heart's left unchanged. So come, move. Let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. And when you move, the outcast finds a family. And when you move, the orphan finds a home. Lord, here we are. Oh, teach us to love mercy with humble hearts. We bow down at your throne. So come, move. Let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. So come, move. Let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. So come, move. Let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. So come, move. Let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. Still, call the sea to still. you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Ring and call these bones to life, and call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name
to him I owe. find thy tower in thine alone. It can change the leper's spots, and it can melt the heart of sin. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. Yes, he did. To him I owe everything. Sin had left a crimson stain. He's washed in white as snow. Come on, Jesus paid it all. Oh, Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. His sin had left a crimson stain. He's washed in white as snow. Oh, praise the one my death and raise this life up from the dead. Come on. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt, and he raised this life up from the dead. Praise the one who paid my debt. Somebody see, his blood is washed away all my sin and all my shame. washed away all my sin and all my shame. I've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, somebody shout, Jesus, Jesus, oh, He's washed away all my sin and all my shame. Washed away all my sin and all my
You never stop.
You never stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are, Jesus. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are, Jesus. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are, Jesus. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are, Jesus.
Keep singing that. Keep singing that. Jesus is today. He's the miracle worker. He's the way maker. There's nobody like him. When you can't see a way out, he's the one who makes the way. That's who he is. That's what he does. Come on, keep singing it.
You're working, you never stop working, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working.
Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all humanity. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for the living God? There is nothing that is too hard for him. We're going to sing this chorus one more time. And in my spirit, I feel like there's somebody who has received a diagnosis from the doctor. And I feel like God wants to defeat cancer this morning. I don't know who it is. I don't know who it is. I don't know if it was recent or if this has been going on for a while, but I sense that the Lord wants to touch your body today. So we're going to sing this again, and I want you to sing it with faith. I want you to sing it with expectation that He is our miracle worker. He is your miracle worker. He is ready to heal you today. Come on, let's sing it again, and let's sing it with faith. Let's sing it with expectation. Sing it out.
Miracle worker.
You can be seated. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you're here. If you're tuning in online today, thank you for joining us. We're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so on our My Church app. You can do so by text, or you can do so on our website. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. If you're in the building, we welcome you to make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. And as you do that, we have a video to show you. God bless you as you give.
Hi, Pastor Wallace. How are you doing? And Pastor Joy. We just want to thank you guys, and we appreciate everything that you have done for us and seeing stuff in us to allowing us to be elders for the church and just showing us love and giving us all your availability to answer any questions and just being there for us and being the true pastor that we love and that we see for you to be. So thank you.
Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy, we can't thank you enough for all that you have done for us. Maybe you're not even realizing that you have, but just being the models that you are and just sharing your knowledge with us. We just thank you for following the call and just continuing to have a multicultural church that you have.
Hey, Pastor Joy. Hey, Pastor Wallace. I just wanted to say thank you for being you guys and thank you for being funny pastors and being nice to us.
Thank you.
We love you guys.
Love you guys. Bye.
Hi, Pastor Wallace. We were asked to make this video to share our some words of appreciation. We wanted to tell you that we love you, we appreciate you, we thank you for all of the things that you've done for us, like bring us back into church after not being in church for a long time.
Geez.
We thank you for being a good friend and a good listener and for giving us the word in the church just like it should be. We love you, Pastor Joy. And I think Elena has a few words to say too.
Thank you for being you. And for just leading us on this path.
Thank you.
Julian, have you got a few words to say?
See?
Okay, cheese.
Hey y'all, my name's Andy. I'm on the previous team, you guys may know that. I haven't been here at this church for that long, but I have known Pastor for quite some time at another church that I used to go to, and now I'm here. I'm thankful for the opportunity that Pastor Wallace has given me to come here and be a part of you guys' church, to be on the praise team and help lead you guys in worship. Is something that I love to do and something I look forward to, being here at Carpenter Shop every single Sunday. I also look forward every single Sunday to hear Pastor Wallace's message and bringing the truth of God's word, because it's always important to have a solid foundation based on the truth of God's word. And there's so many people out there that descend under people that don't preach the absolute truth of the word. And the foundation is not properly laid. And then when the storms of life comes, because the foundation is not properly laid, they seem to stumble and they fall. And I'm very thankful and very glad to have a pastor that brings the truth of God's word and lays the foundation for those whom he's been charged by God with to be over of and be shepherd of. I love Pastor Wallace to death. I look forward to seeing him on Sundays. I look forward to everything that he's going to continue to do in my life, and not only my life, but everyone else's life. See you.
Man. I could have sat there and listened to several more. I love it. Julian and I have a connection that some of us other people may actually have too. Could you help me move this? Julian and I are foodie people. Do you know what foodies are? It wasn't long before I realized when Julian came in and there were no biscuits in the coffee shop, it was like attitude. So, like, hangry. You know what I mean? Julian and I both are like that. We have that kindred spirit of enjoying food, and when there's not enough for us to get some, we don't like that. So, I loved hearing his cheese this morning. So, we love you guys. And Andy, your passion for worship definitely shows. It does. I love singing and worshiping with you as well. Well, the last couple of weeks, Pastor has been on a study, a series. Well, let me tell you where he is first. He's actually in Chowan County, speaking today, two services, and he's bringing forth the Barnabas 21 ministry to two churches that had called and asked about it. As many of you know, Barnabas 21 House is going through a lot of needed renovations. Didn't really realize that some of those things were taking place, but in the process of getting the roof fixed and a wall repaired, and then the underneath, and then Pastor just said, you know what, we're just going to completely renovate as we're doing this, because there was a bathroom that needed to be renovated. So anyway, it's really actually, you will be surprised when you see the Barnabas House again. It's just amazing at the things. Pastor said, I can do the demolition. And he said, I just can't put it back. Thank God that he realized he couldn't put it back. But he had the best time demolishing. In fact, he got so involved demolitioning that he actually tore out a wall that didn't need to be torn out. He realized after he had cut it right down the middle, he said, oh, wait a minute here. Anyway, so he was just into the demolition of it. But it's really interesting, the people that have come forward in seeing the work being done at the Barnabas House and offered. Actually, the Baptist Association's men from Perquimans County area came and actually did a wheelchair ramp. So the Barnabas 21 House will be able to house anybody in a wheelchair now. so handicapped people. So it will definitely increase the usage there. Yes, yes, we're really excited about that. And he is excitedly sharing with two churches over there today. So we'll pray for him as we enjoy our services today. But in the past couple of weeks, he started a series on transforming your territory. Transforming your territory. So last week, we talked about having a mentor in our lives, being a mentor, and the importance of motivators in our lives so we can be agents of transformation. How many of you sometimes need a motivator? Yes, every morning I need a motivator. Pastor is my alarm clock. He says, honey, it's time to get up. So I hear him go out the front door, walking bogey, and I think, I've got 15 or 20 minutes that I can lay here, and then I'll get my second ring. So then, as I hear him come into the front door, sometimes I jump up and act like I'm sitting on the side of the bed. But sometimes I wait for him to say, honey, it's time to get up. I'm turning on your bath water. I am not a morning person. Okay, so now you know two things about me. I'm a foodie, I love food, and I'm not a morning person. Those two things, Wallace is, he likes food too. I think I might have taught him that. But he is a morning person. When his alarm clock goes off and his eyes pop open, he is like feet on the floor and out of the bed. Like, who does that? I have taught him through the 39 years of being together that you don't whistle when you get up in the morning. You don't whistle as loud as you can in my house when you get up in the morning. But sometimes we need motivators. Anybody else need a motivator? Yes, sometimes I know what I need to do, but I just don't want to do it. I am a procrastinator. I sluggishly, and then sometimes it takes somebody like a woman's Bible study, Elaine, to say, no more excuses. No more excuses. Do what God's called you to do. Sometimes it takes pastor, you better get up. You're not going to get to work on time. Sometimes in the evening, he'll say, what was your study on today? So we share what we've been reading. So sometimes we need a motivator to do what God has called us to do and to do what we need to do every day. All right, and then the week before last, we learned about the spiritual assignment of transforming a territory. We are called to be the salt and light to this region, making sure that we influence people one by one. All right, I'm a one by one person. Today's a stretch for me, but Elaine's Bible study has brought it in place for me. But I'm a one-by-one person. I like the one-on-one contact. I can talk to you one-on-one. I can open up to you one-on-one. But when there gets to be more of you, I have a little more challenge. I don't want to share the hardships and the inside problems with a group of people because the trust factor hasn't been established. Okay? So we are to be salt and light to transform our region one by one. And that's where that comes in and reminds us at our jobs, in the grocery store line, when we're picking up our kids from school, all of those things. People are watching us and we have a small window of time where we can plant a seed, encourage somebody, invite them to church, offer prayer if we see they're struggling, those things. So today I want to start out reading to you Joshua 1:3. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now notice here, there is a setting of the foot down on a territory, on a land, on a region, setting on a foot. And you know what I see? It's hard to describe things in the spiritual world, but I see, you know how you're playing baseball? And you come into home plate, and you just stomp that plate. because you're like, yes, I made the home run. Yes, you stomp that plate, all right? You're setting your foot on that plate. You're stating, I have made this home run. Well, that's kind of like it is in the spiritual world. God is telling Moses here, he's promising him, wherever you set your foot, wherever you set your foot. And so there is a touching of your foot upon a place. There is a contact from a heavenly kingdom to an earthly place. Okay, so let's pray. Father, we come to you today. We thank you, Lord, for you are worthy of our praise. We thank you, Lord, for the praise team that brought us into worship in a mighty way today. And Lord, that just allowed us, Lord, to gather as a family and worship you. We ask, Lord, today that our hearts, our minds, our ears be open to your word. Allow us to be able to receive what you have us to receive today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, today we're talking about touch, the power of touch. Who likes to be rubbed? Oh, yes. Ava has learned how to give shoulder massages. So last night when I sat down in my recliner, she came over and started massaging my shoulders, and she said, do you like that, Mimi? I said, yes. Just let me relax here. Just keep right on. She could have done it all night long. Same thing with feet. I saw Abby throw her feet in Jeremy's lap. Well, he didn't immediately touch those feet. So she wiggled those feet. Uh-huh. That says, uh-huh, yeah, you can rub my feet. You can rub my legs. We like touch. We like touch. And it's interesting, you know, a lot of times when you take your grandchild or your child somewhere and it's a new place, what do? They slide their hand up in yours. That touch, that security that they receive from touch. We're going to talk about touch today in a lot of different ways. As we have become accustomed to changes that COVID has projected on us, we have worn our mask. We have limited our spacing, and yes, we have stopped touching. As a hospice chaplain and bereavement coordinator, touch is powerful, and it is a great form of connection. When we want to let a person know that they are not alone, we touch. We may lay our hand across their hand. We may reach out and rub their arm, their forehead, to bring rest from the anxiety that they may be feeling. We want to ease their frustrations, their anxiety, their fears. We may lean over and give a hug to bring a sense of love and, yes, a connection, or to solidify their worth. We may use touch to console them through emotional times. There is tremendous power in a simple touch. Touch conveys something. I have never been a hugger. Never. I wasn't raised in a family who hugged. My mom loved us, but she didn't hug a lot. Like when we went to grandma's house or we went to my aunt's house, we didn't hug each other before getting there or when we were leaving. We just didn't hug. When I moved into Wallace's family, the first time I met Wallace's mother, she hugged me. Do you know how long my arms felt? They felt like they were dragging the floor. And I thought, what is this about? She doesn't even know me and she's hugging me. There's something about touch that is very personal. And so if somebody that you don't know and you've never met, sometimes it can be offensive. Why is she hugging me? I don't even know her. So I think a lot of times it's how we're raised and how we're brought up in our families. Our family wasn't a hugger. But through the years, I've become a hugger. Mary Harper has taught me that. I like to hug. Mary likes to hug. This time in life is the hardest time for Mary. She feels very without touch, you know? But she taught me, hugging is good. Oh, grandkid hugs. Oh my goodness, that makes them all the better. So we hug a lot more now in our family than we ever have, just because I've decided I like it. I like the connection. I like the touch. I like the snuggles. And Mary Harper brought me there. Mary, you've done something good through the years. She's clapping her hands. In a world filled with fear and concern for our own health and fear of spreading germs, we have set aside the physical form of touch, which lessens our ability to console a person. It has hindered our ability to say, you are worthy of love. Fear of spreading germs has hindered our ability to sympathize with others. Think about the definition of touch. To come into physical contact with the purpose of altering, changing, or affecting something. That's physical touch. You want to alter it, you're going to change it, or you're going to affect it. Our lives are affected with touch. In fact, psychologists tell us that touch is the very first sense that we acquire. If you're looking on Facebook nowadays, you see these beautiful pictures of women in long gowns or dresses, and they're going to be a mother soon. And so they take pictures holding their stomachs. Okay? You see the touch to that fetal womb, okay? There's the touch. There's the familiarity that mothers do, that dads do. So psychologists say that touch is the very first sense that we acquire. And think about the senses: seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and touching. Touching is that first sense that we experience. It's the first mode of communication for a human being, the first language we experience. Think about it. The infant comes through the birth canal, introduced into life outside of the mother. And immediately, this life is touched by another, whether it be a midwife, whether it be a doctor, a PA, or an EMT person. They receive the communication, I have you. You are safe. It's going to be all right. You are here. They're giving a welcome. And then they say, here's your mommy. In other words, consoling hands touch that infant and bring a sense of peace. Then when mommy receives that child up in her arms, that touch takes on a whole different meaning. That touch communicates love and familiarity. That baby already knows that touch. That baby already knows that voice because she's carried them for 9 months in the womb. That touch is followed by the touch of daddy, who communicates the same. Then the family members, one by one, they all get to communicate love, affirmation, joy, excitement, family, connection, and gratitude to that precious little baby, simply by the power of the human touch. They all touch that precious child to bring a sense of change, changing fear into calm, into peace. The same activity occurs over and over again in the next several weeks of life. Think about it. The baby cries, mama picks it up. Am I right? Changes the diaper, gives it something to eat. So touch is something that says, when I get touched, I'm going to get what I need. Touch is important. Touch conveys a lot of things. A lot of things. The Bible speaks about touch, citing story after story where the Master reached out and touched people, bringing peace to their lives, making change in their lives, and bringing hope and bringing security. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, Jesus is in his own town of Capernaum. He had just called Matthew to be his disciple and to lead the task of collecting taxes. People were following him, listening to him, watching him, and Jesus was teaching. In the midst of this, Matthew 9:18, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. What does that statement say? Jesus, if you touch her, she will live. It shows belief, it shows his faith, and it shows the desire to have that daughter back. And she did. The Bible says that Jesus stepped into that ruler's house and declared, she is not dead, just sleeping. He took her by the hand and she sat up. Touch. After that, Matthew 9, 20 and 22 says, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. This is one of my favorite passages. She said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed in that moment. At the touch of his cloak. But you have to realize, her faith was in place. She believed that she was going to be healed when she touched his garment. Then in Matthew 9, 27 to 30, it continues with more touches. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes, and according to your faith, it will be done to you. And their sight was restored. There again, touch. Belief in place. Faith that Jesus could heal them. And then Jesus' touch. In Matthew 9, 32 and 33, while they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed, could not talk, was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. It just seemed that everywhere Jesus went, there were people who needed a touch. People who were perplexed by life. And through the issues that we're going through in 2020, there's a lot of people perplexed in life. People who are in need of the change that only Christ can bring. He healed the sick, he released the oppressed, and he delivered the possessed. Can I tell you, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. You may say, oh yeah, but that was Jesus. That was then. Haven't we all used that excuse? Jesus said in John 14, 12, verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And in Hebrews 13, 8, he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes. What does that mean, folks? What does that mean? Think about it. If you're here today and you are sick, he will heal you. That means that if you're here today and you're oppressed by the devil, he will lift you out of those ills and out of oppression. That means if you're bound by social ills and vices of this society, Jesus is here to set you free from that binds you. Somebody say, I need a touch. Somebody say, touch me, Jesus. Yes, yes. Y'all didn't say that very excited. Maybe you didn't get your 3 wake-up calls this morning. Somebody say, I need a touch. Somebody say, touch me, Jesus. Yes, yes. I'm telling you this morning that this is the very thing that God wants from you and I. He desires that we come here and worship him in the glory of his presence on Sunday morning. But listen, church, he doesn't want us to stop here. He wants us to get out of our comfort zone and take his kingdom to the community. You may never get some people to come to church with you just by asking, hey, I go to church on Sunday, would you meet me there? They may never come like that. But if you take Jesus to them, they can find Jesus without stepping into these church walls. Then they'll find themselves in church. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it in heaven. In heaven, there is no sickness. In heaven, there is no captive. In heaven, there is no depression. In heaven, there is no lack, no poverty. Somebody say, on earth as it is in heaven. You can experience that divine phenomenon in the name of Jesus. You just have to get out and touch somebody. Get out and touch somebody. Lay your hands on somebody. Touch somebody. Listen to them. You know, you don't have to physically touch somebody to touch somebody. You can touch somebody on Facebook. You can challenge somebody and touch them on Facebook. You can do it by phone. Virginia Gatlin many times has prayed with me over the phone. Pastor Bernie sends me encouraging text during the week by phone. And I am touched. Some days I think I have no energy to make my visits today. And I will get a text from Pastor Bernie that's encouraging. Sometimes it's a scripture. Sometimes it's just a word praying for you today. And I'm reminded I am not alone. This is not a me job. This is a job that God goes with me and he prepares the way. And I have strength through him. It's not about me. It's about him. We have to realize that. Lay your hands on somebody. Touch somebody. Listen to somebody. Connect with somebody. Listen to the person in your grocery store line as you're checking out. Most of the time, if they are lonely, which they are during the COVID, they're lonely or oppressed or frustrated, they're going to speak that thing in that line while they're waiting. They're going to make a comment. Today has been the worst day of my life. And you'll say, oh, I heard you say today's been the worst day of your life. I'd love to pray with you. Because you know what? Jesus came that you can have success in this life. Life is not fair. Life is not easy. But Jesus can bring healing to your life. He can open the doors that need to be opened to the doors too. And he can set you free from these burdens. And then just right in that grocery store line, grab their hand or not and pray with them. Pray with them. So lay your hands on somebody. Touch somebody. You don't have to do it in your name. In fact, don't do it in your name. You do it in his name. It's not your character that's on the line. It's his character. It's not your reputation on the line. It's God's reputation on the line. He will do what he promised he will do. And he will work through the vessel that is willing to put the word to the test. Are you willing today? Are you that vessel that says, you know what? I'm going to put Jesus to the test. I'm going to reach others for the Lord. That is what touch is all about. He will work through the vessel that is willing. We can have all kinds of excuses. I've had them all. I could write a book on excuses. Most of you sitting here could write a book on excuses. And it wouldn't be one of those little 13-page books either. It would probably be one of those 250-page books on excuses and why we use them and how we use them. We can have all kinds of excuses, but we can come up with all the reasons that we can't do it. But God has a track record of hearing that from men like Moses and Jeremiah. They said the same thing. I can't do this. I can't talk. I'm not strong enough. Nobody will listen. I'm afraid. Jeremiah 1:4-10. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to, say whatever I command you to. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. He called you to speak his word. He called you to act it out. And Matthew 16, 18. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, but the scripture preaches, folks. You can't deny that. I can say a lot of things up here, but the scripture says it all. You will lay hands on the sick, and they shall get well. When we're talking about sick, there's a lot of different sicknesses. There's the physical sicknesses that we have. There's the mental sicknesses that we have. There's the financial illnesses that we have. There's so many different kinds of sickness. It's the very first sense that you ever experienced, touch. You were touched. The doctor touched you. Your mama touched you. When you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, your Savior touched you. Touch somebody. Touch somebody. I'm going to say it again. Touch somebody. Transform the region with the touch of Jesus. Because there is power in the human touch. When the human has been touched by Jesus, there's change. There's healing. There's wholeness that takes place. Today, I want to ask you. You can come back. Today, I want to ask you. Do you want to touch other people? Do you want to touch your territory for the Lord today? I want you to think about it. You know, it's not an easy thing to say, I'm willing. A long, long time ago, I was probably 10, 11, maybe 12. I was sitting in a church service on a Wednesday night. And back in those days, they didn't let women preach. They let women speak. And it was usually on a Wednesday night. And a missionary came who had been to India. And she had lost her husband in India. And she was planning on going back. She had had to fight to go back. Because in those days, they didn't let women go alone. And she came and she shared about touching other people. She shared about showing love to people who had never heard about the gospel. She shared about reaching out and feeding kids and telling them stories of the Bible. She had a glow on her and a presence that me as a kid felt. And I wanted that. And I said that night, I want to touch others. And I had forgotten that story until the Bible study that the women are doing. And I realized, wow, I had forgot all about that. But honestly, that's the first time that I can say I felt the call of God in my life. I knew that day, I want to do something different. I don't want to live my life without purpose. I don't want to live my life and not touch other people. So today, I'm not asking right this minute if you need a healing. I'm not asking if you need relief from being oppressed. I'm asking, do you want to touch other people? Do you want to touch other people? If you want to touch other people, I'd like for you to come forward. And if our prayer team will come forward, I want you to be present to help pray with people. Do you want to touch other people? Or do you want to hold all the good things that God has done for you for yourself? Do you want to touch other people? Yes. Now our prayer team is going to be going through the line to help pray with you. Some of our elders are going to be assisting, praying for you. But today I want to just say a prayer over all, just over all. So if you'll just reach out your hands like you're going to receive that gift. You're receiving that gift from God. Because you know He wants you to touch people. Lord, we come to You, and Lord, You see these people right now that want to touch other people, that want to draw other people to Your kingdom. Father, we pray, Lord, that You would just continue, Lord, to draw their heart. Lord, that You would just allow them, Lord, to feel the need with urgency. Lord, there are people that are discouraged. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are sick. There are people, Lord, that are weary from the frustrations of life. And Lord, these people are willing to say, I want to touch others with Jesus. Lord, give them the boldness. Give them the strength, Lord. Give them the passion and the ability, Lord, to just speak up, to reach out, to touch. We thank You, Father, that You are willing and able to do this. You're going to give them the strength, Lord, the words to say, the simple words to say that they will understand. Lord, thank You for today. And thank You, Lord, that we're going to change our region. We're going to change our territory for You, Lord. We're going to reach people that haven't been reached. And we thank You, Lord, for that today. In Jesus' name. Yes, and if anyone needs a healing today, if anyone needs a touch from God, have circumstances that you need prayer over, please come forward. Our elders are up here. Our prayer team is up here. Please feel free to come.
Let
justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. So come, move, let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you.
Y'all use your Facebook. Let us know on the CSIC Facebook page what's going on, who you've touched. Just give us a little blips. You don't have to tell all the details, but give us a little blips of people that you've touched this week in our territory. We're going to take this city, y'all. We're going to take this city one by one. We're going to take this city. Do you believe that today? We can do that. Jesus can do that. And Jesus uses people like you and me. As Barbara Johnson said, a wonderful author with a great sense of humor that lost both of her sons through traumatic events. Barbara Johnson says, we are just cracked pots. We are just cracked pots. Vessels from the Lord that have been used and broken through time. But God brings that healing, and we just spill out His goodness. So go spill out His goodness this week, and don't forget to Facebook us so we can celebrate with you of the people that have been touched. And you know what? Don't take any connection lightly. Don't take any connection lightly. When I lived in Florida and I felt all alone, one person came up to me, an elderly lady. She was standing at the fence line. We were on married housing, and she was standing at the fence line. She was older, 70, probably maybe 80. I was young, and had two young kids. And I remember her saying to me, sometimes life is rough, isn't it? And I said, yeah, sometimes it is. And I was so burdened that the tears just dropped heavy on my shirt. And she said, Jesus is there for you. And I want you to bring your kids over tomorrow afternoon because I have ducks and I feed them the same time every day. And I'll have something for them too. So the next afternoon, in my brokenness, not sure who this woman was, we went to her little house. And it was a little house before tiny houses were a thing. It was just a little teeny square mobile home. And we went in, and she had baked cookies for the kids. And then she kept looking at her watch and looking at her watch. And she said, "It's time." She took us down to the end of her little road. And there were ducks by the thousands. And the kids fed ducks and fed ducks and fed ducks. So two times a week, every week, we went to feed the ducks and have cookies. And this woman fed into me. A woman who knew what life brings fed into this broken young woman, scared and away from her family. Simple things like homemade cookies. Well, that's not simple, but it's good. Homemade cookies and feeding ducks. Use any means that you have. Think about it. This was an elderly woman living in a little retirement place, and she was used of God to minister to me and my children. God can use you where you are, even if you're a cracked pot, even if your vessel has a boo-boo on it. God can use you. Get out there and do this thing. We're going to reach our territory. Amen? Say it together. We're going to reach our territory. Yes. Yes. We're going to bring hope and life and sustain people that are hurting in our territory. Thank y'all so much.